When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In sports, if you want to be the best, there are no off days.
Season's greetings. This is the No Off Days podcast. I am Scott Smith, and we have Chris Cato to my left, the man who is adorned in many a Santa hat. I love it. It's very good, very festive.
It's Bama Claus. Bama Claus is here.
Is he going to be dead at the end of this? Look at this skull this and crossbones.
There's a local T-shirt company called For the Bay, and so this is kind of like Tampa holiday here because you go straight from, you know, Christmas season to Gasparilla season.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. And then, of course, Brian King, producer Brian King, is in the booth. I'm sporting my little apparel here.
Is that new?
A national champion, the Harding Bison. So congrats to the Division II champs. Do I hear some clapping somewhere else? Did I hear clapping in the production
room? I hear a whole round of applause, for the Bisons. BK, got it done, BK.
Brian, were you clapping?
I was.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm happy for you and the Bisons.
Yeah, man. It was quite the affair. I flew down to Dallas, and they played a game in McKinney, which is about 45 minutes northeast of Dallas, I believe, and then it was actually in a high school stadium. But, you know, I don't know if you know this about Texas, but everything's bigger. I mean, this was a legit college stadium. This thing was huge.
Their high school stadiums are bigger than most college stadiums.
So it was cool. It was like a reunion. I mean, it was faces that I had not seen in 20 years, and whether they had won or whether they had lost, I think it was going to be a success. The fact that they spanked the mime school.
Yes.
They went back into their glass box. It was a wonderful occasion. We stormed the field, and no, there was no streaking. Just to clear that up.
It was really cool. Congratulations to you. You, again, being modest, you played for Harding a few years ago. But I was kind of hoping the game would be more competitive. You guys just destroyed them, like 1,000 yards rushing or something.
Yeah, no. As soon as they got that lead, you know, they just run the ball. That's all they do. This flexbone offense just pounds the rock. So as soon as they got the lead, I was like, okay. You could tell that they just fell forward and would gain 4 yards. So, yeah, that other school didn't have an opportunity to come back after that. So it was fun, man. And that kicks off the holidays in a perfect way and kicks off actually today's show in a really good way too, because we're going to be talking a lot of football, a lot of college football, a lot of NFL action, and for that, let's bring BK back in because there's something at the end of today's show that I know folks are really going to enjoy, and that is an award ceremony.
Yeah, it is. We've started looking back at some of these shows. I think we're at show, 437 now?
Well, yeah. It feels like 1,000, but yes. Yeah.
So we give out this year's awards, and we had, you know, you got to come up with a clever name, so Scott came up with Naughties. Most people kind of nod off.
Naughty and nice. They're sleeping.
Yeah. Okay. So, we're going to give out awards for, like, best categories throughout this podcast for this past year.
Best dressed right here. Can I enter today's?
You could.
Okay.
Have we met the cutoff? Okay. All right. That'll be fun. I think it'll give us an opportunity to look back. And in fact, one of the categories – well, actually, no, this is not part of the Naughties. But we will look back on some earlier predictions that we made, right, BK?
We will.
In the college football season.
Oh, wait. I thought you said really we weren't keeping receipts.
No.
You did for that hat because it's a little tight, a little snug on that head of yours.
Oh, just like my T-shirt.
All right. Very good. We will catch up with you momentarily here, BK. If you're listening and you want to watch, go to fox13news.com/nodpod. If you're watching and you want to listen or subscribe, take out your phone. You can zap that QR code on the screen, and through the magic of technology, it'll send you right into all of our shows, all the database, and you can watch any number of shows, and many of which we will talk about today on the podcast. So please subscribe, fox13news.com/nodpod. I want to first kick things off talking NFL because what is happening here in Tampa Bay with this team and this little run that this team is on, I think sometimes we look at all the flashy guys on the team and we forget about the guy at quarterback a little bit. And how instrumental Baker Mayfield has been in the success of the Bucs. And so the question I want to pose, or the case maybe I'd preferably like to make, is that are you convinced, am I convinced that he is the guy moving forward, that he has earned a second contract with the Bucks. And so, obviously, he has been a bargain deal for this team. A one-year, $4 million contract in the offseason, came in as a free agent. Not a lot of teams were willing to take a risk on a Baker Mayfield, or their quarterback situation was set. And he has outperformed it. In fact, I saw something, a financial analysis site, overthecap.com, says that Mayfield's performance valuation here in this season, based on what he's done, is worth $31 million.
Okay. Whoa.
Now,
wow.
If I'm Baker, I'm heading into kicking Jason Light's door in and saying, hey, take a look at overthecap.com. But that would make him, one of the best bargains, obviously, in the NFL based on his production. And then they give a little bit of a market value to 2 years out, and they have him in free agency being able to kind of to net $33.5 million.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how realistic that is. I mean, looking at the landscape, I'm not sure exactly how many opportunities are going to open up. How many teams will be actually looking for new quarterbacks. I think Minnesota might be in the mix. I'm not sure if they might re-sign Kirk Cousins. I don't know. Maybe the New York Giants. I don't know if they can even get out of their deal with Daniel Jones. How much would you spend for him? What is he worth? Or do you want him at all? And my case is, I think he has shown enough throughout this season where he is worth re-signing. He's done everything that's pretty much been asked of him. I think that he has toughness and obviously he's a resilient player. He takes a beating. I think he can make all the throws. He's a fairly accurate quarterback, too. His touchdown-to-interception ratio is amongst the best in the National Football League. He's got 24 touchdowns as we record this episode, just 8 interceptions. There is only 2 quarterbacks in the NFL that have more touchdowns and fewer interceptions than Baker Mayfield, and they're pretty well known, in Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott. So I think he has kind of obviously outperformed this contract. But also when I look at, the state of the teams that are vying for Super Bowls at the end, if you're going to reboot this thing and you're going to go, shop for through the draft and get a new rookie quarterback, how often are we seeing rookies or guys, even on their first contract, lead teams to the Super Bowl? It just does not – to a Super Bowl win. It does not happen very often. I think Patrick Mahomes was one, so the 2019 season. I don't think he had gotten his big contract extension yet.
No.
I think it followed that season. And then you'll have to go all the way back to, 2014. And Russell Wilson, I think he was, in the third year of his contract with the Seahawks. But it's a lot of times you're going to have to pay for these guys. Now, do I want to pay $33 million for Baker Mayfield? No. I mean, he has proven himself, but if you can get him for somewhere between 20 and 25, I think that's a deal.
Yeah,
and I think you can, he seems like he falls well into that bridge quarterback category where there's not so much clamoring for him that it's going to be, uber competitive, but that you can get him at a good rate, something that's going to make him feel like, hey, this team's investing in him. They believe in all the stuff that he put on tape this year. But at the same time, you're not mortgaging, the farm.
Right. I think that if that were the case, 2025, I think that's something he would listen to and he would go for. I mean, because again, we don't know if there are going to be a lot of openings and opportunities out there, how this thing shakes out here. But I think the Bucks need to do it. I think he's proven enough. I think he, again, how many offensive coordinators had he been through before he got here with Dave Canales? And it's just now, I think, over halfway through the season where it really kind of started to click, and just now kind of, and Dave Canales has said after that big win, in Green Bay, trust the process. The process is now working. It's now playing out. Baker looks more comfortable than ever. He's probably still holding on to the ball a little more than they would like him to. But again, he's not turning it over a lot, like you pointed out. And the guys love him. The team, the coaches like him. He's galvanized the locker room. He is a franchise quarterback. I think you could make that argument pretty easily. And the path he has been on has been strange because he's the number one overall draft pick in 2018, had won the Heisman at Oklahoma, and had a pretty good season or two in Cleveland, and then just for various reasons hadn't worked out. The Rams could have kept him last year after he had that little audition with them, and they found themselves at the beginning of this season in a situation where they probably would have liked to have him around. Yeah. So I feel like this is set up well for the Bucks and for Baker. I hope they do make an effort to keep him. The money will be, how much we want to spend on some other pieces to go around Baker too, right?
Right. I mean, there's obviously the big free agents coming off the books here at the end of the season, unless they do something about it. Number one is going to be Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. So do you want to keep him? I mean, I would think that they're going to make an effort to keep him, but he could probably fetch higher dollars somewhere else. Devin White, I'm going to say that Devin's probably gone at this point. You need to re-sign some guys. They picked up the option on Tristan Wirfs. But they need to get him into a long-term deal. He's not walking out that door. Antoine Winfield Jr. needs a contract extension. He's not walking out that door. I mean, that's my priority list for the Bucks. You know, put the quarterback, you know, maybe one or two, three spots down. Mm-hmm. I need to get Tristan Wirfs. I need to get Antoine Winfield Jr. under long-term contracts. Those guys are not leaving. But then I think, you know, the next is probably figure out Baker's situation, you know, and hope maybe you can get, like, Mike Evans to come back on a discount. I'm not smart enough to sit here and know how all the money works, but I do know that Brady's big $35 million cap hit is coming off the books.
Yeah.
And I think there's some other dead money that's coming off, too. I want to say Donovan Smith's maybe in that number. I mean, there's some other guys as well. Now, you have, like, some not great contracts that are still on your books, guys that need to produce, guys like Shaq Barrett. You need to produce. You know, Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis, these guys need to produce. But if they can make the books work, and, you know, those guys in the front office over at the Bucks, they seem to figure it out every year. So, but yeah, and I just look at, like, your prospects of rookie quarterbacks coming out of the draft, you know, where they're going to be selecting. And if they make the playoffs, it's probably going to be in the 20s, you know, somewhere around there. Like, who's going to fall that you feel more confident about that is more of a known commodity? You know, like, I don't know if Jaden Daniels falls that far.
I doubt it.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Does Bo Nix fall that far?
Maybe not.
But, you know, a J.J. McCarthy, maybe a second-round pick.
It might be like a Sam Hartman, someone like that, could fall to the Bucs. But, again, yeah, I think Baker is more of a known commodity.
Right, and now you're restarting things. I think a lot of it will have to do with, too, how they finish. Because if they don't make the playoffs and they just clean house and it's a new coaching staff in there, then at that point, there's just probably no sense in bringing Baker back, right? So make the playoffs is goal number one. And once, if they do that, then I think that now you could start having these discussions, because to reinvest in a rookie quarterback, yes. I mean, if you go late first round, early second round, you're in the, you know, your salary next year for a quarterback will be anywhere between, you know, $2 and $6 or $7 million, I believe, somewhere in that range, which is, you know, great from a salary standpoint.
Sure.
But, you know, are you willing to reinvest and play that slow game out, knowing that you're probably not going to reap the rewards right away? All right. Elsewhere around the NFL, let's take, because we're hitting the new year.
Yes.
Teams need to start resolving in their minds, hey, things have to change around here. Certain teams need more drastic changes. So we're going to come up with a New Year's resolution for an NFL team or player or whatever of your choosing that they need to make sure in 2024, hey, this is going to be different.
Okay, and I feel like now that we're talking New Year's, I should take the Santa hat off probably, okay?
That's also,
I think it was
distracting. Make sure your hair doesn't come off.
I think it was distracting you. Look, it's perfect.
It was all in one piece.
It hasn't moved.
I thought it was sewn into that hat.
Yeah, I'm like the elf on the shelf. He's got plastic hair underneath. Well, I had a New Year's resolution for the Bucks, but we kind of touched on it there, which was keep Mike Evans.
Yeah.
I think you have to, and again, I hope there's some cap gymnastics they can work out, and maybe Evans cuts him a break. But he needs to retire as a Buccaneer, and he's going to break. He's got 10 straight seasons of 10 straight seasons of 1,000 yards receiving, and, you know, Jerry Rice has the record 11, and so Evans can get to that. You'd hate to see him break that mark in another team's uniform, and plus,
and he's not fading.
He's not fading.
That's the other issue. It's not like he's cracked 30 and now he's an old man. Like, this dude's still in prime condition.
He's 31. He looks great. Still pulls down those contested catches. And if you could keep it, Baker's really comfortable with him. So that was my New Year's resolution for the Bucks. Find a way to make that happen. But I've got one for the Jets. Okay.
Oh, good.
The New York Jets. Here's your New Year's resolution, New York Jets. Do not waste this opportunity with Aaron Rodgers. Okay, don't blow this. Don't Jets this up. Don't let Aaron Rodgers mess it up, okay? He's not going to play this season. That's pretty obvious. They're talking about activating him from the IR soon. Maybe by the time people listen to this, that will have happened. But without them in the playoff race this season, you know, reports are that Jets officials don't want him stepping on the field. Make sure 2024 is set up to have what you thought could happen this season. Make sure it can happen next season to fulfill those playoff aspirations, Super Bowl aspirations. And part of that is keeping Aaron out of your personnel decisions. I mean, let's face it, these guys he had on his wish list that they brought along, Lazard, Randall Cobb, Dalvin Cook, they haven't panned out. I'm not sold on Nathaniel Hackett either, but I don't know that I think Aaron's pretty attached to him.
Boys.
But you've got to so keep Aaron out of your personnel decisions, invest in some offensive linemen and some skill players, and let us enjoy, because I know Aaron's kind of, you know, polarizing, but I think we all love to see him throw the football, and I'd love to see him come back healthy next season and have a chance to do something special.
Yeah, and I would resolve to also reinforce his other Achilles tendon, if there's a way you could do that. Is there any way just to kind of put an extra screw in there in the offseason, make sure it holds? My New Year's resolution is going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Go out, and whether it is through the draft, moving up in the draft, whether it's through free agency and dropping some big toe, you need to go out and get some receivers.
Yeah.
Okay. You are not. You cannot waste these years with Patrick Mahomes, with the likes of what you got.
MVS.
Well, look, we love Marquez Valdez-Scantling, but he's not a number one receiver. You got outside of Kelsey, you got Rashee Rice, you have Justin Watson, also a former Buck. I mean, this is not a list of who's who. You need some
Kadarius
big time.
Tony's not getting it done for you?
Oh,
you
boy. Gosh, where's the ball?
Justin Watson's wife used to cut my hair. I ever told you that?
Really?
She could vouch that this is real.
I've noticed it's gone downhill. Yeah, since
I still
left.
Fly to Kansas City for haircuts, Scott.
Look, so you're going to have options through the draft. I mean, depending on where they draft, of course, there's a handful of good receivers in the draft. You got Keon Coleman, might slide middle, late first. You got Brian Thomas from LSU. You got Amika Egbuka from Ohio State. Adonai Mitchell from Texas.
Yeah.
There's a list of good receivers. Go out and get you one. And then I would also maybe even do something through free agency as well. I mean, Mike Evans, if he leaves. There's been a lot of Bucks that have gone over to Kansas City, yeah. Right? But hopefully that does not happen. But, I mean, you got Curtis Samuel. A guy that I really think would be a good fit is a Calvin Ridley. Mm-hmm. Like I think he's going to be a free agent, and he's with the Jags, and he's having a great season. Go out and spend some dough. I mean, you want to capitalize with Patrick Mahomes. He needs to have guys that catch the ball and line up on sides, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to check in with some of our preseason college football predictions.
Oh, no.
And now that we've kind of come to the end of the road here, we'll see and we'll check our work. How many of them did we get right? Did we get anything right? Stay with us. The No Off Days podcast continues.
PTSD is what I will have.
Welcome back to the No Off Days podcast. We are inching toward the finish line here, Chris, on the college football season, and this is the semifinal games. Yeah. They're right around the corner, and there's a lot of excitement. We're going to break down these games and kind of give our picks on what we think is going to happen. But I figured it would be good to go back and look at some of the picks and predictions we made.
You thought this was a good idea, by the way.
Back in August. I mean, we say some crazy things. You know, we make some bold picks. And many times they don't pan out. And so I think it's just fair to go back. I mean, a lot has happened. I don't think anybody could really have predicted what would have happened in this college football season. Maybe some people nailed all four teams. Now, we didn't do our playoff four. We should have done that.
We should have. That would have been better. But we didn't.
We did not do that. But we did make some bold picks at the beginning of the season. I believe that was actually how we came.
That was the assignment,
right?
Yeah.
Give us a bold pick.
BK's assignment.
We're you know, walking out there on the limb a little bit with our picks. So bear in mind as we review what our picks were back again, August 17th of 2023. And let's hear what Cato's bold prediction for the college football season ahead was.
This is my bold prediction. I think it's possible, but no, I don't think it's happened. But if I've got to make a bold prediction, Oregon State wins the Pac-12.
Wow.
And saves the Pac-12.
Wait, in what way?
Because after the Beavers have this magical season,
they create a dam that prevents people from leaving?
The Beavers do, yeah. Knock off USC in the what people thought was the final Pac-12 championship game.
Okay, so thoughts now, Chris Cato.
First thought is we haven't aged since August. That's good news. The Botox is holding up.
Yeah.
Second thought is, can I get half credit for that?
For
obviously not, they didn't win the Pac-12. Okay,
right.
But
I'm trying to look. I'm looking at the standings right now. So they finished. Let's see, in the Pac-12, fourth.
Okay. pretty good. But can
they had a good season. They did have a good season.
Yes, and we thought they would. But can I get half credit for them saving the Pac-12? Did you see this court ruling that came down last week?
Why don't you tell us all about it?
I will tell you a little about it. So, you know, they've been in litigation. After the other Pac-12 members left, they tried to take the Pac-12's assets with them, which, how do you do that? You guys are leaving the conference. So Oregon State and Washington State, being the only two orphans left, went to court and said, we should have all of the Pac-12's assets, including revenue from this past season, including all the branding, the Pac-12 name, and we should control the board as the only two remaining board members, which means we are the only two decision makers.
But
and
I believe
just this past week, last week, a judge sided with them. So, yes, the Pac-12 is still alive, and it is partly because of Oregon State. So I think I should get some credit for that.
But I believe that the reason for them being able to keep the conference together was because of their success, right? Weren't you springboarding off the Oregon State success on the season, and that would be the reason why?
I think you're putting words in my mouth. You're putting words in past Chris's mouth.
I don't know.
Brian, could you help me out here? Could I have some partial credit?
Does he get
the Pac-12 is still a thing, right? And something else I said in that clip, well, you didn't play the rest of it, is I said that they would bring in the Mountain West teams and refurbish the Pac-12. And guess what? Washington State and Oregon State, the next two seasons, have worked out schedules where they're playing Mountain West teams.
Well, I think so we kind of already knew that that would happen.
No. Well, we didn't know it until I said it. This is happening. My prediction is coming.
All right,
coming
BK,
through.
You weigh in. How many points does he get for this prediction?
I'll give him a half point just before. Because Cato, he talks so long a lot of times that something bound to be
eventually
like truth.
Eventually he'll stumble across something that happens.
Something true.
All right. I'll take my half point.
Very cute. Okay, now while we still got you, BK, I made a prediction on that very episode, too. Would you mind queuing that up and flashing back in time?
Of course.
All right. My bold prediction is for the first time in college football playoff history, there will not be a Big Ten team in the four playoff. I have Texas getting into the playoff with Arch Manning
Do
at
you?
Quarterback.
No, really?
Arch Manning. Yeah, I think it's
Quinn Ewers goes down.
Well, I think he gets injured at some point, and I think Arch comes in to save the day, leads this team. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a matchup in that playoff. I already kind of played the whole season out in my head with Alabama at some point.
Yes.
Arch Manning. I like the dance I did. That was nice.
You don't regret that?
Obviously, there was a chance that the Big Ten would cancel each other out there at the end. That wasn't a great bold pick. But my Texas prediction was big because I don't remember a lot of people picking Texas to make the playoff at the beginning of the season. But I had faith. And Quinn Ewers actually did get injured at the season, but you know I just didn't realize where Arch was in the pecking order. So.
But wait, now you know you have a chance to still be right because their backup,
music to my ears.
Malik Murphy, you have a chance to still. Malik Murphy has hit the portal. He's their backup. He actually played two. I have another point I want to get to later about this. He played two games this season, and they won. He's left, so it's Arch Manning is now the backup. So you're one heartbeat away from.
And if they win in the semifinal and Alabama wins, then we're going to get Alabama, Texas, and an injured Quinn Ewers.
And an injured Quinn Ewers.
And Arch Manning.
Alabama has injured Quinn Ewers before. Right. Not that I'm cheering for a player injury, but wow, Scott would be.
So how many points do I get for that little prediction there, BK?
That's a lot of points there. Plus, the part I kind of cut out was that you just kind of threw in how you think that Washington – would be the best team in the Pac-12.
That was, a great point. Thanks for reminding me of another great prediction I made. Is that when you were talking about Oregon State, I said, well, I think Washington is actually the best team in the Pac-12.
Yes.
And then I said, and don't sleep on Oregon.
And I said, I think the Ducks are the best team in the Pac-12.
Well,
so I was wrong about that,
too. You're just trying to butter me up.
No, I think he gets half a point, right? Because his mission.
Wait, half a point?
His Big Ten, your main prediction was that the Big Ten wouldn't have a playoff team. Then you just throw in this other Texas thing?
Fine. If you give me a half point, then he's getting like an eighth of a point. Okay,
He got to give two predictions. I get to give one. He gets to say the Big Ten.
No, you did too. You picked Oregon State. To make the playoff, and then you also
that was part of the same theory, okay? That was part of the same theory.
I think
why don't you spray the board and give us a bunch?
We each gave two predictions in one.
No, and that was a completely
one of
separate,
yours is partially right.
Was,
one of mine
how
was
Texas
exactly
related
right.
to the Big Ten? Well, I guess if they don't make a playoff, Texas team has to get in.
Okay.
Can we agree next season to actually do playoff predictions?
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we got to pick all four teams.
We should.
And then argue about it in December.
What was BK's bold prediction? He's being kind of quiet back there.
Oh, yeah. What was yours?
Yeah, didn't you have
mine
one?
Was that the Jimbo Fisher and Petrino marriage would not end well.
That's good.
And you nailed it.
Well, but I kind of thought it in, you know, really a lot of fireworks on the football field, actually.
Okay.
You know, a big blow up
like
and everybody.
Drama.
Yeah.
You don't want to make a case that you were calling, you predicted Jimbo was going to get fired. I think that's what you were getting
Everybody knew that was going to happen, though.
Mid-season?
Well, that's a good call.
Yeah.
Well, I think you probably win then.
No.
In this game of
was
I
right?
You
got two of the playoff teams.
We had another good one in that episode. We both agreed that Auburn would be Georgia's biggest stumbling block.
That's true.
And that was they won. It was 20-20 in the fourth quarter, and Georgia scored a late touchdown.
That's
so
true.
We're pretty good.
And
good to
you,
be right.
You two made predictions on the preseason top tens, which teams would not be in there, and you both said Clemson and LSU.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, I mean,
yeah, people should listen.
Maybe it's
to
my
us.
Fault for not putting in the correct predictions in there and just putting the negative ones in.
Yeah, the ones that make Cato look the worst are the ones I want.
I'm going to call my bookie now about some future bets for next season.
All right, very good. Let's make some more predictions now, all right?
Now that we've proven our track record.
So we have the semifinal game going up. Let's start with the Rose Bowl. Michigan is, as we sit, they are a one-point favorite on your beloved Tide. Go ahead and put your way-too-tight Santa hat on.
It's fits perfectly.
All right. Do you want to lead off on this prediction, or do you want to?
We shouldn't waste the time. How am I not going to pick Bama? I can give you a little reasoning.
Just give me a little a little taste.
Well, give Nick Saban a month, 5 weeks to prepare for Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that he's hired a former – this is how you – Harbaugh, this is how you legally steal someone's signals. He has hired a former Michigan linebacker coach on his staff. The guy started immediately. Getting into Harbaugh's head already?
That's a good move.
Plus, if you look at the matchup on the field, it really does. This is the kind of team that Bama likes to play. Michigan tries to be physical at the line of scrimmage. Bama, too. Michigan's going to try to run the ball. I think it's a pretty good matchup for Alabama. And, yeah, I'm taking the Tide by 10.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. I hate that I agree with you here. But I just see Bama. I think Milroe is a matchup problem. And as he has gotten better throughout the course of the season, I just think this is the type of quarterback that Michigan has not seen and will not be prepared for. I think that, you know, Michigan in the pass game, can they hit the explosives against a very good Bama secondary? I don't know. I mean, could it be? I do. I like Bama, and I kind of think that they might win by double digits.
There we
too.
Go. Let's go.
Plus, look at Harbaugh's record in the semifinal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not great, and you're right. I think that's probably the biggest and the best point is that you're giving Saban all this time, and he's obviously done some, you know, some low-down recruiting.
Yes.
There. All right. What about the Texas as coming in as 4.5-point favorites against Washington in the Sugar Bowl, the other semifinal?
I kind of wanted to hear Brian's prediction for the
Okay.
Rose Bowl, I bet he's going to go Bama.
Okay. Yeah.
I shouldn't have even.
Anything that we did not list as a justification?
No, I think you hit it on with the Jalen Milroe factor and the Saban a month to prepare. I mean, that's a daunting task to face that.
Yeah. And Harbaugh is going to be distracted interviewing for the Chargers job.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Plus, his chickens are molting, I think, right now, so that's a problem. All right. So, Brian, why don't you stay a part of this, too? Give me your Texas-Washington prediction.
I mean, everything on paper looks like it's a Texas, you know. But, I mean, Kalen DeBoer, the guy can coach. And what he's done with that team, and the same thing. It's just no one expects anything from this team, and they find ways to win. I mean, no one gave him a shot really against Oregon.
And, well, that was, yeah.
And holy cow, he out-coached him. And so I've been really impressed with DeBoer and what he's done with that team. And plus, you know, Michael Penix, he's had a month to get healthy if he wasn't healthy. And so, you know, I'm really looking forward to that matchup.
Yeah. You know, here's my – I just think – yeah, I've seen a lot of Washington this year, and Penix is as good as they come. And you know, as far as a just a pocket passing quarterback, he's very accurate. Problem I have is I just have a feeling that Texas can make them one dimensional. If you don't have the balance of any run game, I mean, Texas has a great front seven. You know, that's the thing I worry about. I think it's gonna be a shootout. There'll probably be a lot of points scored, but I just have a feeling that Texas is gonna squeak this thing out in the end. I mean. I say that, and I'm like, well, Washington's a pretty good closing team. But if I have to lean, I'm leaning to Texas. I think it might be even closer than that 4.5, though.
Plus, you want your preseason prediction to be true, that it's Texas and Alabama.
That's the biggest reason, yeah.
And
if Quinn Ewers could get hurt somewhere along
the
line.
Just a mild injury.
Yes.
This is a hard one to pick. I think I'm going to go Washington. Every time I pick against them, I'm impressed with how Kalen DeBoer schemes up other teams. He did it so well against Oregon, and you know what? They did run the ball. And we thought – Oregon's defense, it's going to be tough to run on. And who's Washington's back? He had over 100 yards. They found a way to run the ball. And now they've got Kirkland. So Washington's receivers, I think, are going to have good matchups against the Texas secondary. I don't think Texas is
– Odunze.
Yeah, Odunze. And then Kirkland is healthy now. Finally, he's been hurt most of the season. And then third guy, too, whose name I can't remember. Boy, I'm good with names today. But anyway, Texas is the – part of their defense you want to attack is what these receivers can do. I'm going to take Washington.
So we got what, Bama across the board and two Washingtons, and I'm on an island with Texas. Is that right?
Sure.
Just the way you wanted it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. I love it. At least there's a chance for me to be right. By the way, the running back you're thinking of is Dylan Johnson.
That's the young man.
All right. So coming up on the other side, we're not done talking college football because we have, we got a pretty solid brain trust here on the No Off Days podcast. Ways that we can reimagine the College Bowl season to maybe get a little bit more compelling matchups in some of these bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all come up with something that's a little bit out of the box that they're not employing right now. That will be coming up on the No Off Days podcast. One of our Nod Pod production people, Ron, was very excited to watch the Myrtle Beach Bowl recently.
Yes.
Because his beloved Ohio Bobcats were in it. But what would you think is the rest of the audience watching that?
Ron Mullen. I would say it's about as many people who came to the Panthers-Falcons game last Sunday in the rain.
It's not great, right? So how can we reimagine college football bowl season in a way that the biggest issue is obviously you're seeing it day by, every day there is another star athlete that is declaring for the NFL draft and they're not going to play in the bowl.
Not the draft. They're just declaring for the portal. That's the big problem.
Well, there's portal and then there's NFL guys that are also saying we're not going to play in the game. So how do you incentivize both of these people, both these groups of athletes to play in these games and finish the season so that we can actually get what these teams are at their best against one another instead of this, really poor representation of these exhibition games that aside from the pageantry of the game, really
are unrecognizable.
There's not a lot of intrigue, right? Yeah. A lot of these big quarterbacks are out. So let me lead off with what I think is the most obvious and easy solution to this problem.
Sure.
Okay. Obviously, NIL money has flooded the market and these athletes are going to get paid. So why can't these title sponsors of these bowl games incentivize them further and say, here's part of another NIL package that we can give you for this bowl game. Caleb Williams, if you want to play in this game, mm-hmm. I know it doesn't mean a whole lot to you individually and you're still looking to the NFL, but if you play in this game, we'll give you $1 million. Something like that. If it's I don't even know who's sponsoring that bowl game.
Is that the Alamo
I think so.
Holiday Bowl?
I'm not sure. Yeah. But either way, that's a drop in the bucket from a marketing standpoint for a lot of these major, companies that are already getting on board with these college football games. That's all you would have to do, and I think that you're going to probably retain, I would guess, like 90% of the athletes. You mean to tell me that all I have to do is, practice for a few weeks and play in one game, and you're gonna pay me $1 million? Maybe it's a little bit more, maybe it's a little bit less, and maybe that's a negotiation that takes place. But I don't know why that has not been a part of this discussion yet. You have to make sure, and the program can't force it, right? Like USC can't go to Caleb Williams and say, hey, they have no leverage in that discussion. They can't beg him. There's nothing else that they can hold over his head. So the only person that isn't really incentivized is the title sponsor that's paid a ton of money mm-hmm. to get eyeballs on their game and have a lot of people talking about Tostitos or Alamo or whatever the issue.
68 Ventures.
Exactly. Yeah. 68 Ventures, that they need to pony up some extra money for these athletes and see if they can incentivize them playing in these bowl games. Now, the other side of that is you could get athletes that act like they aren't going to play just so they can play this game of, you know, standoff.
Yeah.
That could take place, but I think that's probably that's the answer that makes most sense to me.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it would work with a player like Caleb Williams who's going into the draft, but it could work for other players that aren't as, you know, going to be high draft picks.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, if it was $1 million to play in one game.
Yeah, with Caleb, no, because he's already got endorsements that value that. He's making
Dr.
Pepper commercials and Wendy's commercials.
He's scoffing at another $1 million.
Yes, he is, easily. Really? But other players would. I don't want to water down your theory there. It could work. It could work.
Wet my theory.
Don't know that Caleb was the best example. Actually, I had that on my list. Incentivize players not to opt out. First of all, I think, well, it's going to be better next year when we have the expanded playoff. We'll have less players opting out, so that's one thing we've got going in our favor.
Yes.
I wish we could change the calendar with this transfer portal opening. That's one thing that's made all this terrible is the transfer portal window opened December 4th, right after the conference championship games. Is there a way that they could push that back where the portal window doesn't open so early? Because that's you have a 2,700 guys in the portal now, and a lot of these aren't playing in bowl games. The situation we talked about last block with Texas and, you know, Malik Murphy, their backup quarterback, this is where we are in college football now. And if I go too long, you can cut this out for time later. Malik Murphy is on a team that could be playing for a national championship. He is the backup quarterback. He played in two games. He started two games this season when Quinn Ewers, who has an injury history, was hurt. But more important now than winning a national championship is seeing what he's worth.
Well, and okay. So I would defend him and say the issue is that he's racing to find his.
Well, right. That's where I go with the window. I mean? That's why I bring this up. The calendar
needs
to be shifted.
Well, I know, but you're kind of making it seem like he's flaking on his team.
No, because I don't want to make it seem like that. Everyone says he's a great dude and he's a hard worker, and I think it was probably a very awful decision he had to make. But I think the calendar is a problem. Don't know if we can adjust that, but
that's a good call. I would be down with that.
This is another thing that could possibly help. Just make the games more interesting. I don't know if it incentivizes players to stay, but when you have someone who is especially a quarterback going to one of these going to another school, okay, you want to go play for Notre Dame Riley Leonard? Well, guess what? You're on the team now and you're playing in the bowl game, and that's when your proposal comes in. You're also going to get $1 million for playing in this Sun Bowl against Oregon State.
I don't think you'd have to incentivize it at that point.
You don't think so?
Not monetarily. I mean, you're playing for the team that you're already a part of now for next year. I mean,
might want to incentivize it, though, because, you know, guys could say, well, I need practice time, whatever. But you've got 3 weeks to prepare.
The only problem is now you're getting a totally different product, right?
Yeah, but it's exciting for the fans. Like, you, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you get to see what your team could look like next season with it. You know, with Riley Kyle McCord, you're going to start. You're transferring to Syracuse in the Boca Raton Bowl against USF. Yeah. So, Kyle, guess what? You're up. Next man up. You're starting this weekend. I don't know. I think that could add an extra element.
Obviously, the teams in the playoffs could not do that, right?
Right. And if you've got a situation like Bo Nix is staying and playing his final game, that's not going to work. But when we're talking about making these bowl games more interesting and for the title sponsors putting more eyeballs on it, I think this could help.
That would be interesting. Yeah, BK, do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, both great points. I kind of like what Cato was saying about the schedule. The schedule's kind of screwed up because you got signing period coming up as well.
Yeah.
So these coaches also practicing, these teams are in bowl games, having to keep their players from transferring, going out and looking for players who may transfer to their school, and then going out to these high schools and talking to kids to get them to sign for the early signing period. I don't see how these coaches are doing it. And the coaches that are not in bowl games have the huge advantage, I think, during this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think another potential fix could be that every bowl game has to have some type of gimmick on par with like a mayo bath at the end.
Yes.
So like the giant Pop-Tart. Yes, you got to eat or fight the Pop-Tart. you know, Frosted Flakes. Maybe it's a giant, instead of just pouring Frosted Flakes on, you actually have to jump into a giant bowl. I think people would tune in for that.
We're turning.
I mean, just the novelty. It's like, yeah, it's just circus acts.
It's Nickelodeon, you know what I mean? Now.
Yes,
it's
exactly. Yeah. Slime time. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. BK, you had an idea in one of our meetings about how the 12-team playoff, this is not really bowl related, but how you think maybe the 12-team playoff should do like a draft.
I think this would be awesome because you know how the playoff will be set up. The format's going to be where five seeds, 5 through 12, play each other.
Yeah,
on campus.
On campus, yeah. On site, yeah, campus locations, and then wherever bracket they're in, 5-12 would be you know paired up with the number one team. My numbers could be off or whatever. How awesome would it be? And this is not my original thought. I read this online, but it just kind of hit home. If the top four seeds, they have an advantage because they get a bye week, they also get another advantage by picking who they want to play. How cool would that be? I mean, you have Georgia, or I mean, excuse me, not Georgia, but say Michigan, you know, they're paired up and they had, right now against playing Alabama, maybe they want to play a Florida State, or maybe they want to play a Tulane or whoever's it, you know. That way, in that whole draft night, and it's kind of, it have some, you know, drama to
drama,
it because, this team's avoiding us. You know, Georgia doesn't want to play us. Georgia wants to play this team. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, you would be forcing a lot of drama in, and I don't think any of the teams would actually like this. I mean, I like it because I like that extra kind of, like, you know, twist to it. But I think that, like, you're giving so much bulletin board material to the team that you're facing. It's like, we think you're so bad that we want to play you, you know? Like, yeah. I can't wait to play this team because we are going to pound the living daylights out of you. Like, I mean, you can't fire a team up more than that. But I kind of love that part of it, too.
I do, too.
Why not have, like, the entire, whatever the higher-seeded team is, just gets to pick? I mean, regardless of the four bye games.
Oh, you're saying just start like, from the beginning. So Michigan
five,
would pick Liberty.
Six, seven.
If it were this season, Michigan would say, "Oh, I want to play Liberty."
Yeah,
yeah.
Like you get to, you just have a draft, and then you redraft it the next week after you get your first knockouts.
But I think the bulletin board material. I mean, part of it's true, but it. I mean, if you're, you know, say like you're a team that just stinks against the run, you're not going to pick a team that sits there and runs 300 yards a game. You'll go.
Well,
and,
yeah, that's the deeper thing.
And so if
everybody will just appeal to what's on the surface, you know, like if we sat here in a room full of dudes, and you're like, okay, you got to fight somebody. Pick the person you want to fight.
But that's it.
And if everybody says, I want to fight you,
but like, you're like, oh.
But can't you see us being a huge TV event, just like the selection show was?
It would be.
One Saturday night after all the first round games. Boom, here you are.
It's the Bachelor. It's who gets the rose.
It is. Exactly.
Who has to get in the limo and drive away, sadly.
That would be a fun idea for sure. I know another way to fix it. How about we just remove NIL in the portal? Can we just go back to – no, okay. The seal is broke. The toothpaste is out of the tube for sure.
Sure is.
All right, so coming up on the other side, BK, it's time for the Notties.
Yes.
Okay, we're giving our awards that hopefully will be now an annual thing as we look back on the season that was, on the year that was, and we have some wonderful categories like best episode, best guest, wonderful things like this. We're going to put our tuxedos on, and we'll be back with an off-days podcast. Continues. Cue the music. It's time for your favorite award show. It is the Notties. Welcome on in. We are your hosts. I am Scott. He is Chris.
Hi,
and
Chris.
Brian King is in the booth. So this year we are going to be giving out some very highly esteemed awards. They will not be tangible, of course. They will just be a figment of our imagination, much like our own success. So here we go. We're going to decide what we think is the best episode of the year, okay, of the No Off Days podcast. I believe we're 60 some odd episodes in.
Wow.
And so there's a lot to choose from. I know that you already have all the shows memorized and all the high moments and the low moments, so let's go with that. All right, best episode of the No Off Days podcast, the nominees are, I'll bring mine first, the Sweet 16 cereal bracket episode.
Oh yeah. That was a good
All
one.
Right. Next nominee.
I didn't even have that one on my list. I've got so many good ones here. I have an honorable mention. Could I mention our September?
Wait, no, it's not the award. I didn't give the award. You're listing your nominee.
This is my nominee.
Yeah.
My nominee is March 6th. We write comedy for Tom Brady, as the story was at the time. He was flirting with a career in stand-up comedy. We wrote some jokes for the GOAT.
Oh,
and also, making that episode even better, that was the Vernon Maxwell interview, which is my favorite.
Okay, let's hear it for that one. What was the name of that episode? Do you remember?
March something Brady at the Joke Hut at the Yucks Hut with Tom, something like that.
Hut, yeah.
Yeah. Chuckle Hut.
Tom Brady
that was
at the
it.
Chuckle Hut. That was a good one. Okay. And the third nominee for best episode on the No Off Days podcast, Brian.
I am going with the Great Scott Shirt Heist. Remember that one where Scott, you got one of your shirts mysteriously taken from here?
I forget.
Yes.
Still
yes.
Missing.
I thought you said shart at first, and I was like, I missed that episode, but I'm so sorry. I missed that one. The Great Scott Shart Heist.
Yes.
Oh.
Brought in a bunch of people from the station.
That's why he has a new chair over here. The Shart Heist. Yes, yeah. that was a Sean Barry production.
It was.
Very good.
We were looking for his stolen Rays shirt. Yeah, that was a good one.
All right, so we're going to have to pick a winner here.
Okay.
All right. So if you think it is the Sweet 16 cereal bracket, raise your hand. Okay.
We all raised our hand.
There we go.
We all raised our hand. Scott had.
Well, those were great nominees, and we give them a deserving round of applause. But let's hear it for Sweet 16 cereal bracket winning best episode of the year. And that one got the most traction.
Nobody
here at Fox 13 has talked about another single episode of this podcast. They want more cereal brackets. And we're like, we already played that game.
And what made it great was the same thing that drives any kind of success in a talk show. It was divisive. People were upset at our entries we had in the field, in the tournament. Everyone was angry.
Everybody's wanting another type of bracket, you know, that we need to keep bringing these out. So, you know, when March Madness rolls around, I think, guys, and viewers, if you have any ideas, please, you know, on Facebook and on Instagram, let us know like what you think would be a good bracket. All right, our next category: best guest on the No Off Days podcast. Our first nominee, Crazy George. Crazy George Henderson. How can we forget that episode? He yelled at us for about 15-20 minutes nonstop. The man at what? He was like 80, right? And just
bringing
much
it.
Energy. This guy had Mountain Dew coursing through his veins.
He told the story of the lion mauling a guy on a field and was just like, there was blood everywhere.
He brought his own
props. And he's looking at me and yelling, get him off me. I mean, I was like, what am I listening to here?
That's best guest. All right, our second nominee for best guest, Chris.
I don't know how to top Crazy George. I mentioned Vernon Maxwell. I really love that one. That was March 6th because his clothes dryer was on during the entire interview. And also he told, like, I was least excited about having him, but most happy with it afterward because he told great stories. He's told about Hakeem Olajuwon slapping him in the locker room and him going after Hakeem with a broken shard of glass.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like story time. So
not to mention the amount of edits for foul language that Brian had to make in that episode.
Yeah. So he was
an honorable mention for me. All right, BK, our third nominee for best guest.
I like this just because it was a great get and the timing of it and everything. I mean, we had Dave Canales right in the middle.
I was going to say that one too.
Training camp, his very first training camp as an offensive coordinator, and he took time out with us to be on the podcast. I thought that was huge, and plus, it was a great interview.
Yeah, he gave great marriage advice, remember?
I know. We were talking about his book for quite some time on that interview.
Yeah.
I like that.
Another honorable mention, people go back and listen to it. Remember my Andrew Cotton interview?
I was going to say that.
The 100-foot wave?
I was going to say that.
I think that has been our most downloaded episode by far.
Oh, really?
Because Scott wasn't in
the
interview.
In it.
No, I make that part up. But, I enjoyed that one, too. But, okay, let's vote.
All right. So the winner of Best Guest, raise your hand if it's Crazy George.
It's Crazy
it's
George.
It's Crazy George. Such a unique personality. So that was great. And what was fun for me about that was that it was just nostalgia. This guy was such a big piece of my fan-going childhood, you know, like going to Oakland A's games. And he was always there beating that drum, and nothing has changed. In 20 years, nothing has changed. All right. Our last group-selected award is Best Prediction of the season. Best prediction of the season. The first nominee is one that you already heard on this episode. It was my own, Texas, making the Final Four. The second nominee for best prediction, Chris Cato.
I'm shocked that you nominated yourself. This is stunning. I don't have any good ones. I had the Dolphins winning the AFC East, but they haven't won it yet, so I don't know that I can claim that. You know what I didn't like was my stupid, remember when you guys let me drive 1 week and I did the love it, don't love it, hate it category? I hated that. Let me not do that again. I got to agree that your prediction, especially if this plays out and Arch Manning ends up, you know, playing in the playoffs, how can we top that? That's got to be the best prediction.
All right. Brian?
Prediction-wise, you seeded all the cereals in that cereal challenge. And you both, went straight forward Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Well,
one seed.
Yeah,
and that just cooked. That blazed through the brackets.
It did.
Well, that's because we rigged it a little. But
why?
We wanted CTC to win. That's why we seeded it number one, right?
First of all, don't discredit the Off Days podcast voting. I don't need any doubting here with our voting processes. Like that was a legit vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we just kind of stand with the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. All right, so raise your hand if it's my prediction on Texas. Raise your hand if it's the cereal. All right, BK is the only one on the cereal because he just wants to spite me, and I appreciate Cato's humility in allowing me this cheap victory.
It hurts. So. I mean, we've talked half this episode about your prediction about Texas.
All right, let's go to – this is the part of the award show that it never appears on the actual broadcast. It's the list of awards that were given out before the show aired, and so we will make up our own categories, and we will start firing. All right, BK, do you have one?
Yes.
Okay.
This award is the Nod Pod Best Supporting Actor, and we've kind of mentioned it already, and this is actually a tie, and it happened during this great shirt heist.
The shirt heist, yes.
With Sean Barry and Taylor Jennings. They dominated that. And it was a special cameo appearance from our own Chris Cato in that episode
as
well.
That's right, yeah.
You did a good job.
I need some acting lessons.
Yeah. I mean, so you're saying that all three of them get a slice?
They should. Well, and Tukes was in it, too.
Tukes, yeah. He was
Tukes, so,
oh,
I mean.
Oh, yeah, he's a scene stealer.
Yes.
Yeah. Barry was very good in that, and he wrote the whole thing. And hats off to – no problem with that.
Now, what was this category, Brian?
It was Best Supporting Actor in a podcast series.
Okay. That was good.
I'm going to go Best Appearance by a Fox 13er. On the podcast, and we've had a lot of people.
Just about everyone in the building.
It's got to be Tukes and his Nod Pod song when he sang
We've got to have him back.
I mean,
to do
that was
again.
A beautiful rendition. Yeah, he's got to come up with another. After he did that, I was like, I got to have you back every week because you got to keep writing and you have to keep performing, and we just haven't. So, all right, kid. Chris, what do you got?
Sometimes on a podcast, especially one that's trying to find its footing when you're trying to get big name guests, you have to allow them to pitch a product, and they have to have a little bit of time of trying to sell something on your airwaves. And we've had some good ones. We've had Jerome Bettis had some kind of air filter, and we had what else have we had here? But I got to say,
Laura Rutledge was
so that was okay. That's my
cooking ham.
That's my number one. I'm going with number one product pitch on the Nod Pod is Laura Rutledge's ham tailgate spread. It was honey baked ham cover your tailgate, and she went through, and by the time she was done, not only were we starving and salivating, but we were out of time for the interview so Laura Rutledge wins the Noddy for best product pitch in a podcast.
Well, I mean, when she came up on screen, I mean, you guys will have to go back and watch it if you just listen to it, but like the whole screen is like her
in a spiral. She was covered up by
it was so many pork products
she had
on that
sliders
table.
Oh my goodness.
I know. And we're like okay, we want to we'll talk ham, but can we get to football? And
and that's one of the where Cato asked her if how does Nick Saban's hair smell.
That would be a Scott question.
That was definitely a Scott question.
That's another category, is worst question on the podcast.
Yeah. How did somebody smell? I love that question, though. All right, BK, do you get another one?
How about Line of the Year Award?
Oh, okay. I hope I'm in the running.
I completely forgot about the Crazy George get him off me line.
That should
win it. But in that shirt heist, Tukes had that line where he just off the top, we kind of halfway scripted it out. But it was where I supposedly took the shard and I had an alibi or something like that. And I said, I'll sometimes eat yogurt, I think. And I told him I ate Tukes' yogurt. And Tukes just deadpan turned, "You ate my yogurt."
That was good.
He did. Yeah. You ate, and he whipped off his glasses when he did it. He said, "You ate my yogurt?" He was so offended.
Yeah. All right.
So that was my line, the Not Pod line of the year.
I guess that was a pretty good episode. Maybe we should have won episode of the year.
Maybe we should just run that one every week.
All right. I'm going to say my most, you know, you mentioned one of the uncomfortable moments. I didn't think it was that uncomfortable, me asking Laura Rutledge about what Nick Saban smelled like.
No, that was, she went along with that. She had a good sense of humor.
So, you know, sometimes we ask questions and, you know, we don't know a lot of these people personally. So, you know, if you don't know, like, where we're coming from, you might think we're strange. And, well, we are. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes it just doesn't land. And I think for me, when I made the Canadian joke to Dave Randorf, Lightning play-by-play man on Valley Sports, it just, you know, I don't even remember what it was, but it was a joke about Canadians. And he is Canadian, and it just was like crickets, man. And so I had to explain it to him. And I just wanted to fall into a hole. I just wanted to bury myself.
You know, these things are never as bad as they feel. It wasn't, the awkward silence wasn't as long as you think it was. But yeah, it didn't land. But that happens sometimes. Yeah. You know, when you put yourself, you had another one like that too.
All right. Thanks.
It was, oh my gosh, why can't I remember it? It was, you tried to force, Rick Stroud into doing a Gruden impression.
He was like not happy about that.
Remember? And you kept on like, "Hey, aren't you going to do Gruden? Aren't you going?" And he was like, "What? You always ask me to do this." It's like you had this whole history with him that I didn't know about.
Neither did I, but apparently I do. I always ask.
Yeah, I think we have a new winner for that category. Actually, it was the Rick Stroud. Why don't you do Gruden? Are you gonna get out of here without doing a Gruden for us?
Yeah. Wait. You're not getting off the hook. The reason we had you on was to do this one thing. Now dance. All right. What do you got?
I can't. I don't know where to go from that. Let's do best non-human. Are we doing that one? Or did you already? Did you have that one?
No, I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
Best appearance by a non-human.
Best non-human appearance. You know, the goldfish, I think, is a little too easy. I'm going to go with our friend. Let me find the episode. It was the episode we had Richard Sherman on, and you brought out a little intergalactic cooler for us.
It was
a Mars rover.
It was a rover.
You know, this was from Stars on Mars, the Fox series Stars on Mars.
And it was playing music, too.
The Fox had, you know, given, for some reason, gave us this rover that was a cooler. And you had a little snack in there for me, a little Mountain Dew.
Oh, that's right.
That was our best non-human appearance, in my opinion.
Okay. I had Garnet the Goldfish because I thought that was the most obvious. But then when you're telling the story about the lion, I know it wasn't here, but I felt like it was here.
I felt like the crazy
George lion was here in studio, so I almost give that an honorable mention. All right. BK, do you have any other ones?
I got one more.
Okay.
This is the Share If I Could Turn Back Time Award. To go back in time and change things.
I think we've named a couple already.
Yeah. This one was that episode. I forgot what we ended up calling this segment. Is where we told two truths and then one was a lie or something like that. Yeah. And you picked out what. And I told our, millions of viewers and how many people had downloaded that I have curved toes and I'm able to pick up things with my feet.
Yes. You said curved toes. I'm going to get this right. Curved toes that look like like shrimp.
Baby shrimp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't think that was the most embarrassing thing you said in that episode.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, but people are going to have to go back.
Oh, no.
What else did he say?
Tres montañas.
Tres montañas. Oh, yes. Oh, that was, that was much more embarrassing than the toes.
Let people go back and dig through the episodes for that one. Episode is that?
I've got to find it here.
I can't remember. I forgot who was on that one.
We're going to make sure people know. Was that the one where I confessed to, like, having to pull ticks off of myself or something? Or leeches or?
That sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah. Well, you know, we appreciate it because it was a moment of candor and we kind of lured you in, you know, as we do. We made it feel like it was a safe place to tell some of these deep, dark secrets.
It is a safe place.
And then there's, of course, immediate regret. Like, why did I share that?
Always.
That's me at every dinner party. So don't worry. Although I don't have curved toes. I don't.
Or a third.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great way to end it. I mean, I feel like we've given some really prestigious awards, and then you know some regrettable awards.
But are there little trophies? No, this is
again,
just all.
Again, it's not in the budget this year.
Okay,
maybe next year. We need to get more than two mugs. All right. Remember, when we get the Nod Pod show page where we get all the swag that we sell.
The store. Yeah.
Yeah, the store.
The show store. Thank you. Once, if Fox can supply a rover, they can supply an extra.
It's a fitting and appropriate way to end 2023, and I feel like there's even better shows in store come 2024. So, with that being said, if you'd like to see all of those episodes of the No Off Days podcast, get a little bit more Nod Pod in your life, go to fox13news.com/Nod Pod or hit the QR code. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. You can get the podcast sent to you every week right to your phone. Don't even have to look for it. Big thanks to Brian and to Chris and to our hardworking No Off Days podcast production
crew.
They're
the best.
That makes it happen and makes it look so good. So we thank you guys at home also for being a part of our podcast. And just because it's the end of 2023, that doesn't mean that we're going anywhere. Right?
Oh, I'm going somewhere.
We've been re-upped for this year.
I'm coming back, though. But yeah, no, happy holidays to everyone.
Yes.
Enjoy the time with your loved ones. And, you know, a prosperous new year to all of you. We'll see you in 2024.
Well said. Until the next time we are on, there are no off days.